Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, philanthropists who are disruptors yet not in your face. The disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as their mission. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life and work. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. In this episode, we're going to have a very interesting discussion, something that affects all of us. And there is a leader that I'm going to talk to about who is actually trying to solve fundamental problems at scale. This is about climate innovation. You know, the journey from a promising climate innovation to a successful business is not a straightforward path, particularly so in a country like India. India, as we all know, has no shortage of entrepreneurs tackling challenges in clean energy, circular economy, and the related universe, such as sustainable agriculture and, of course, green manufacturing. But what, however, is a challenge is that many of them, in fact, most of them, do struggle to access the resources that are needed to scale, because capital scarcity remains a fundamental challenge in this space for such enterprises to scale. That's where Greener Sustainability Accelerator Program by TechnoServe comes in. As an equity-free accelerator, Greener is helping build a robust ecosystem for climate entrepreneurship by supporting hundreds of startups with advisory access, Investor Connect, and of course, mentorship. Its impact extends well beyond business growth. The ventures that Greener supports are also creating livelihoods, strengthening rural economies, and building climate resilience on the ground, particularly in the field of agriculture and farming. In this conversation, we'll take a closer look at how Greener is nurturing the next generation of green enterprises and what it takes to turn climate innovation into lasting impact. And we are talking creating impact at scale here. For this, we are joined by Ajay Menon, Senior Practice Lead at TechnoServe India and Program Director of the Greener Sustainability Accelerator. Welcome to the show, Ajay. Delighted to have you.
Thank you very much, Gaurav. Very happy to be here and happy to share a lot more about the work that we're doing here on the ground via the Greener Sustainability Accelerator Program from TechnoServe.
You know, Ajay, let's start off with something that, you know, it's a context setting kind of a question. It's also kind of an explainer that I'm trying to get out from you. Tell us something about the Greener program, why and how it was started, and what is the gap that Greener is seeking to fill here, Ajay?
Thank you, Gaurav. So essentially, the Greener Accelerator program came about and it's being supported by two global foundations, IKEA Foundation and Visa Foundation. Together with TechnoServe, that has done a full program design development, and we're also the implementation partner for the program. Essentially, we did find that as we were discussing in terms of, you know, when you look at climate and climate impact, right, it is no longer at the back of everyone's consciousness. It's at the forefront, including decision making by large businesses, decision making by you and I in terms of lifestyle changes as well, because we do know that climate degradation is well upon us, well and truly upon us, and from all the articles and information that we read, it's not going to go away anytime soon unless we do make certain changes in the way we live, and the way, you know, on a daily basis, as well as the way companies are also building themselves, whether it's in manufacturing or services oriented as well. What we did find is that when you look at moving away from a circular economic model to an economic model that is more restorative and regenerative in nature, which is the circular economy, there is evidence that suggests that small and growing green businesses are the ones that can lead the way. When you look more closely at the small and growing green businesses all around us, whether it's in India or globally as well, there are lots of challenges. I mean, in India specifically, there are about five challenges, starting with the fact that they're operating in very nascent markets. There is a huge divide between intent to action in green consumerism. They have challenges in accessing high quality raw materials that prove to be very expensive. There are challenges on accessing the right finance and fundraising opportunities, and also that are well priced. There is also a challenge in terms of access to talent, and ultimately any company that you actually scale, technology might be one aspect of it, but it's always on the backs of the people, right? There's also the fact that they're unable to quantify their own environmental impact to be able to showcase the fact that their products and services are actually making a big difference to the sector, to the communities that they're operating in. So this is where TechnoServe came together with IKEA Foundation, Visa Foundation, to say that let's run a very large-scale accelerator program, looking at wanting to collaborate with about 350 companies. And we've, after two cohorts, we've already touched base with and touched about 300 companies so far. And let's see what we can uncover in terms of insights with these companies to figure out what the next level of programming could be in supporting the climate, environment, and green startups here in India.
You know, Ajay, many thanks for that context and the kind of work that Greener is doing and trying to solve some fundamental problems so far as enterprises in this space is concerned. But how many startups have you supported so far, and how it is working? Which are the problems that they're solving? Which are the areas that they're in? And, how is Greener getting involved in this, Ajay?
That's a good question, Gaurav. So essentially, TechnoServe and the Greener team's role in this entire program is to do capacity building, support access to finance and fundraising, and also be able to support access to market linkages. Essentially, after two cohorts, we have worked with about almost 300 startups right now. Cohort 3 is underway, and we should be touching about 375 to 400 startups at the end of the program. Each cohort is with us for about a year, and during that time, we do a lot of capacity building because about 90% of the startups coming into our program, the founders are first-time entrepreneurs. So given that they are first-time entrepreneurs, technically very sound, when you look at their passion quotient, it is off the charts. They're in it to serve a purpose and to fulfill a mission. But when it comes to the brass tacks of understanding how do you actually build a business, forget about the fact that it is in the green sector, but how do you actually go about building a business? Do you understand unit economics? Do you understand cash flows, financial planning, go-to-market strategy, development and implementation, building the right culture, hiring the right people? Those are all, foundational blocks to building a very successful and a scaled business. And that is where we come in to work with these founders to provide the right bespoke business advisory, to also match them to the right investors, and then also to be able to support market linkages, whether it's within our own organization, because we do a lot of work in agriculture, food systems, or even with partners outside of the program as well. The way we do it is that each business advisor on my team, they manage a portfolio of about 8 to 10 companies. And these companies come in at various maturity stages. We have companies that are pre-revenue and only about 2 to 3 years old. There are companies that are almost 10 years old, so they're a little more mid to late stage companies. So based on, depending on the life stage or the maturity stage of the company, that's how we tailor make the business advice that we provide the founder and the founder's team. Gaurav?
You know, if you look at India and the stage of development that we are in, and we are, of course, the economy is growing at a rapid pace, regardless of, the rough and tumble because of various exogenous factors. But we continue to remain one of the fastest growing major economies in the world, and we have grown tremendously in size. So our economic ambitions are something that we all need to keep in mind. But having said that, we also have set very ambitious climate goals, and all of these will have to be compatible with our economic ambitions too, because it's not a zero-sum game. So there's no trade-off that can take place here. We have to find a very sustainable kind of an equilibrium, if I may say so. Where do green enterprises fit in here?
Very interesting question, Gaurav, and we do get that a lot as well. I think essentially it would be, you know, there's some exciting statistics that have also been put out by one of our ecosystem partners, the Council for Energy, Environment and Water, where they basically have said that when you look at the India's green economy and the move towards or the march towards Viksit Bharat in 2047, almost $4.1 trillion in investment could potentially be brought into the India's green economy. That will potentially unlock 48 million jobs. That will ultimately attract unlock almost 1.1 trillion in market value. Now, these are astronomical numbers, right? And these are also very exciting numbers for any founder who's looking and wanting to build a green business. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, while these businesses have a relevant role in various sectors that we're working in, right? There are four key sectors that have bubbled up in our program after 2.5 cohorts, namely waste management, agroforestry, textile, and energy. And each of these companies have a certain role to play depending on the ecosystem or the sector they're trying to build their business in. So, for example, we have more than a dozen green construction businesses that are all developing alternatives to the current construction environment. So if you look at alternatives to the red clay bricks, but you look at bricks being made out of waste plastic or agricultural waste, there is a potential value and a proposition that these green construction companies have to play. So in various aspects, in various sizes in terms of markets, when you look at, from a revenue and a profit pool perspective, within so many different sectors, you have green startups that are able to play a significant role. But the challenge, like I mentioned earlier, Gaurav, is the fact that, you know, we have to be able to unlock demand for these companies. I mean, how do you actually reach a market value of $1.1 trillion, as CEW has pointed out, that is the potential? It's the fact that we will have to take greater strides, whether it's, the Indian government is one of the largest procurement agencies in the country, or probably the largest procurement agency in the country, and all the other large conglomerates having to come together, you know, to take certain risks to be able to lift the tide for all the green startups that are there in the green sector in India. Gaurav?
You know, Ajay, you have worked with 300-plus startups, as you said, 375 almost now, across 100-plus cities. If you now look at the kind of the broader economy also, a large part of growth is coming from the Tier 2 and also from the Tier 3 cities. And we can see yesterday's Tier 2 cities actually beginning to mimic metropolitan and large cities in many ways, in both in terms of ambitions, aspirations, and of course, in terms of consumption and spending ability. Given that fact, and also, you know, you see a lot of startups sprouting out from the usual, from outside of the usual geographies in India and coming from Tier 2 cities. In that context, what kind of climate-focused businesses are you seeing emerge from these smaller towns? Can you give some specific examples and also highlighting the business model and impact? Because climate-specific enterprises, I would assume, would also have very geography-focused business models, isn't it, Ajay?
Yes, absolutely, Gaurav. When we look at the number of cities that we've actually been able to work across India, we have covered, as you rightfully mentioned, about 106 cities so far after 2.5 cohorts. And about 92% our startups are coming from Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and beyond, which clearly indicates that when you look at climate mitigation, climate adaptation, innovation, and the need for it, it's not a Tier 1 phenomenon at all. When we look at the kind of companies that are there in Tier 2 and Tier 3, they would be largely around, food and agriculture. First would be waste management would be the largest sector, followed by food and agriculture, and then energy, including waste to energy companies, and then textiles. Those are the kind of companies, those are the kind of sectors from which we're finding companies coming in from Tier 2 and Tier 3. So I hope that addresses your question, Gaurav.
Absolutely. You know, you did mention about waste management, and waste management clearly, the pace at which India is urbanizing, waste management, solid waste disposal remains It's a challenge that is mounting almost every year, every month, and every week. And we now see that waste management continues to dominate your portfolio cohort after cohort. Is that a success story or a gap story?
Gaurav, that actually is, I would say, you know, rightfully put, in terms of, you know, whether it's a success story or a gap story, we were also amazed with the number of waste management companies that applied to our program cohort after cohort. And honestly, when we do look at it, I think it's more of a gap story rather than a success story. Because if you just look at the sheer, for multiple reasons, starting with the fact that look at the sheer scale of waste generation in India alone, right? Just to share some facts for you and the audience as well, is that India generates currently about 62 million tons of waste annually. And it's growing at an average CAGR rate of about 4%. And this is all due to changing economic growth. It's rapid economic growth. Consumption patterns are all lending to this. I mean, today, if you do venture out to smaller towns, the hill stations, I mean, from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the amount of waste that you see in these places is incredible, right? And it's very sad as well. You've also got a very grossly inadequate infrastructure, right? When you look at the number of dump sites outnumbering, let's say, sanitary landfills, it's a ratio of 10-1. When you look at low recycling rates and an overburdened informal sector, only 20-25% of waste generated in India today is actually recycled, right? Which is a significant portion which is being handled by the informal sector, which is your rag pickers, your radiwalas, and, you know, there are different terms for the informal sector. You have about 1.5-2 million informal waste workers handling 60% of recycling. Then there's also poor enforcement of regulation. When you brought about, you know, so you mentioned solid waste management and those rules that were set up in 2016, they lack uniform implementation and also legacy waste clearance under the Swachh Bharat mission from the government. It's below 20% nationwide. And also when you look at the ban of single-use plastic, only 70% of it is actually banned, and it still circulates even after the ban in 2022, only because there's weak reinforcement and there are lack of alternatives as well. Then ultimately, there is also insufficient funding. When you look at the municipal level, from what I was reading, metropolitan cities commit only about 10% of their budget to solid waste management. Local bodies are allocating anywhere between 500 to 1,000 rupees per ton, with 70% of that directed towards collection, but only 20% towards transportation, leaving very little room for treatment and disposal infrastructure. So, I mean, if we were to summarize, when you look at India's waste management crisis, it really is systemic, right? I mean, at the home level as well, you do your best to segregate your waste. It started out with saying segregate wet organic with dry waste. But then within dry waste, you've got paper waste, you've got plastic, you've got aluminum, you've got glass as well. All of that goes into two separate bags, one's black, one's blue, one's green. And then when you have your local municipal corporation come to pick up the waste from your home or rather from your cooperative housing society, it's all mixed into one particular dumpster and loaded into the truck. The truck is weighed, and then they get a certain amount of money based on the kilos of weight or the weight of the waste that they're carrying. So where is the segregation actually happening? So I think that is where, at a very conscious level, as long as, you know, there are policies, there are rules and regulations, there's infrastructure as well to support more granular levels and more efficient levels of segregation, collection, and then segregation as well, I think, you know, we could be unlocking so much value in terms of recycling, upcycling a lot of our waste coming out of our own homes. Gaurav?
You know, there's a lot of work that is happening, as I can gather now from this conversation, particularly in the green economy space, and Greener has, and TechnoServe has been, you know, you have a ringside view, a front row seat, as it were, of this. But my question is more specifically on women-led enterprises, particularly in this space. What is the kind of activity you're seeing there, and what are the kind of challenges that they face and the kind of support that they're looking for and receive? Ajay?
So the gender lens is a very important lens with which we work at across all our programs at TechnoServe, whether it's in India or in the 30 countries that we operate in. So having said that, when we look at also the number of women beneficiaries from our program, that has also grown to about 47% globally. And in India itself, it has grown to about 37%, and that's a 10% growth year on year. Within just the Greener program itself, and you know, in India, TechnoServ is operating in three verticals. We're in doing a lot of agri work in agriculture and food systems and entrepreneurship. And so with the Greener program specifically, we have about 60% of businesses that are women-led across the different sectors that we're operating in within India alone. And what is interesting is the fact that when you look at the kind of sectors that women are operating in, there are some clear differences between women-led businesses and male-led businesses, where you have the fact that I think the biggest gap really comes in clean energy and in agriculture, which is really very reflective of the fact that, you know, there are persistent structural barriers within the within these ecosystems or within the sectors of clean energy and agriculture. And also the fact that, you know, engineering heavy fields generally attract less women. I'm not saying that there are no women at all, but there are fewer women than male-led businesses from our tracking and observation. But you have lots of really smart women-led businesses, you know, running direct-to-consumer companies, whether it's in the beauty and personal care direct-to-consumer companies. It could be also in building tech-led aggregation platforms as well. A lot of passionate, a lot of smart women leading them. And when we talk about a woman-led company, it really is a lady who is part of the co-founding team or a lady who's holding a CXO position and can contribute to strategic decision-making for that business on a day-to-day basis.
Finally, Ajay, you know, clearly it's very encouraging to note that there's a lot of action happening in the green economy space. But having said that, which are the biggest barriers that you see that we need to surmount in India for this to flourish more?
Well, I think there are two areas. There are two areas, Gaurav, I think, that come to mind. One is definitely in terms of being able to create sustainable demand. When you look at the sectors that I spoke of, whether it's agroforestry, you're looking at companies in circular economy, in textile, energy, or even waste management, we have to create sustainable demand for these companies to be able to grow. Because unless they're able to grow, they're unable to meet economies of scale to continue reducing the prices of their products and solutions. And as they grow, they're able to also unlock job opportunities at their company within the communities that they operate in. So I think being able to create demand, whether it's at the government level or through government agencies or through certain sectors, we have really large conglomerates who can come together to support demand. I think that's critical. And then on the other side is also on the finance and fundraising. I mean, we typically have not had huge challenges in attracting investors to look at the companies in our portfolio across the three cohorts. A very exciting set of investors. In fact, till date, we have unlocked 230 crores plus in the form of equity financing, in form of debt financing and grant funding as well, which goes to show that there is definite promise for investment into green startups, right? But I think at the end of the day, when you look at the investments also coming in, I think in terms of the models they have, when you say you're trying to search and unlock patient capital, I think the word patient really needs to be played on a lot more, where possibly the exits, the kind of exits or the level of returns impact investors are looking forward to would have to be a lot longer in terms of timeline than traditional or all the you know, the alternative investors who are looking at the flavors that of today, whether it's aggregation platforms, whether it's fintech, last mile logistics and or quick commerce and what have you. That is where green companies, I think, do have an ability or and have the opportunity to continue growing, but we have to be able to unlock demand and the right type of capital for them to keep growing as well. Gaurav?
Absolutely. Very well said. Thank you, Ajay, for sharing your deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you so much, Gaurav, for having me here today to represent the Greener Sustainability Accelerator Program from TechnoServ, and it's well supported by IKEA Foundation and Visa Foundation. Thank you very much.